Okay, James, we are here, the All Things Richmond podcast, the newest rendition. We're at a full-blown construction site, as you can probably tell in here. I'll let James tell you where we are. First, you want to introduce yourself, James?
Hey, I'm James Crenshaw, and we are currently in the construction project of City Center Gather. This is going to be the newest gather. It's going to open up on July 27th, I believe, or July 17th, actually.
Depends on who you're asking.
Yeah, depends on who you're asking. July 17th, right here at 4th and Broad. You can see the convention center probably out the window here. You got Urban Hang Suite, and then a new restaurant open across the street called Fatty Smokes, getting ready to open up. So working hard on this project.
So this is exciting. So James is the has been with Gather since 2014, opened. Why don't you tell us a little bit first about your background. You are from the Richmond area?
I'm from Mechanicsville, Virginia, just
yep.
a few miles
up the road.
Way.
You went to Lee Davis High School?
Lee Davis.
So would you consider yourself a suburbs guy?
I was.
You converted? You jumped over from the suburbs into the city of Richmond?
When I lived in Mechanicsville, I thought, who would never want to live here? And now when I live in the city, like, who would never want to live here?
So, just appreciate your surroundings.
Maybe so.
Yeah, so you went to Virginia Tech.
That's right.
And you studied what?
I studied marketing, graduated in 2006, and from there I immediately got a job working for Alcoa, which is an aluminum company. You might know it better as Reynolds Metals, the Reynolds Wrap people. Mm-hmm. So I graduated with marketing and took a job in logistics, which made no sense, but at the time it felt right because I was joining a company that had a ladder I could grow and have a nice career in. Right there on Glenside and Forest.
How long were you in corporate America there?
I was there 6 years. I worked in a cubicle with, 6 to 9 other 50-year-old women, and I loved every minute of it. But it wasn't overly fulfilling. I spent a lot of time thinking, should I have a job that I get fulfillment from, or should I have a career that has a ladder I can grow and then volunteer or do other projects on the side to get individual fulfillment. So
gotcha.
I had that debate probably from day one I was there, mm-hmm. but the routine and the comfort of having a corporate job, I had my life, my routine, I could mm-hmm. have friends afterwards, but that all came to the end because Alcoa gave me an option. They said, you can either be promoted and move to Knoxville, Tennessee, or you can say goodbye.
You could leave. Yeah. You chose that option.
Yeah, actually at the time it felt hard, but they actually did me a big favor by giving me this decision, but it felt hard at the time because I was turning away money, I was turning away stability, and mm-hmm. But I thought about it from three ways, and I thought, I really don't love aluminum.
You weren't passionate about aluminum?
No, but I was working for it. I really didn't care about logistics and shipping the aluminum, mm-hmm. and then I'm sure Knoxville would be a great place to live, but I was starting to really like Richmond and what mm-hmm. was coming around here. This was back when most people were just learning to like living in the city.
So now what year is this when you left?
2012.
Okay.
Yeah, so on April 30th of 2012, I was sitting in my cubicle at Forest and Glenside, and on May 4th, 5 days later, I was in Nairobi, Kenya, decided, I need to get some new experiences to figure out what I want to do. I've been sitting in that cubicle for 6 years. Let's go out and explore. So right. I used my severance package, and I volunteered in Kenya for 5 weeks, and then I went to Moscow, and my college roommate was getting married, and I backpacked from Moscow to Lisbon, Portugal, picking new routes every day, no plane.
By yourself?
By myself. I did have a couple of dates. I was going to meet the girlfriend at my time in Italy, mm-hmm. She's now my wife, and then my roommate at the time, I was meeting her when I left Italy going to France. But other than that, every day I just met locals and asked them, where should I go? What should I do next?
Right.
So that was fun.
Wow. And you've been back to Africa several times since, correct?
I've been back once, and I want to continue to go and think of ways to contribute.
Yeah.
But
I
have enough.
Made some friends there. Made some people that you still stay in contact with.
Yeah, well, I use WhatsApp and chat and keep up with people
that's awesome.
There.
That's cool. So fast.
But
forward,
I don't have my life figured out yet enough to always help out. So.
Yeah, well, I don't think any of us do.
Yeah.
So fast forward a little bit, you start a company called Experience RVA.
Yeah, so coming back from that trip, I got back home and I didn't have any money. So I was just, and I had a mortgage to pay. So I had to think of ways to get some revenue coming in. So a friend of mine had an app he was working on called Local Suds. And if you think of Untappd, it was like that. You'd go and you could rate the new craft beers. Mm-hmm. At the time, there wasn't as many craft beers, but they were starting to pop up. You had Legend, of course, and Hardywood, and then you had Midnight Brewery popping up, Center of the Universe. So we would go to different festivals and events and promote his app to get more downloads, give out koozies and be at festivals and get emails and try to promote the app. That led us to start our own company called Experience RVA, which mm-hmm. would be very similar. We do brewery tours to help get the word out, so we would rent a bus
from Lynn Transportation. So back then, how many breweries did Richmond have at this time?
I can't remember the exact number, but it might have been around 30 in the state. Okay. But a brewery expert would tell me I'm wrong on that.
Right.
But that's
but
my memory.
Your tours
good.
Were just Richmond, or did you go outside of Richmond?
We did Richmond, and we were starting to do some in the Hampton Roads area.
Okay.
So we would pick people up at a local restaurant like Capitol Ale House, mm-hmm. Sell 50 to 60 bus tickets, and then take them around to the different breweries and try to do one cultural attraction each time. Mm-hmm. So sometimes we would do the tours on the canal walk through the boats, and other times we'd go to Gallery 5 and see a burlesque show, mm-hmm. Or we'd just go to a beer festival at the 17th Street Farmers Market. Just different events to try to tie people into the culture of Richmond.
Right.
All the while on the bus, we would be introducing the people on the bus to their bus passengers. Mm-hmm. So we'd have icebreaker games and trivia games. It wasn't a situation where you got on the bus and stayed quiet and got off the bus at the end of the day.
Right.
You know, you came on that bus, and by the end of it, you felt like you made some new friends.
Right. That's pretty cool. And then this led to you doing a festival on the Boulevard?
So all in the spirit of promoting the app and promoting local breweries, we did the Boulevard Pumpkin Festival. So we shut down the Boulevard for the first time, had roughly 12,000 people come up mm-hmm. to the event. We had a pumpkin hook, so we wanted people to come, and the reason they came was because they could do pumpkin carving or pumpkin mm-hmm. painting. We had all the food trucks do pumpkin food dishes, mm-hmm. And then we had local press come and vote on the favorite pumpkin dish. So it was a fun day.
What year was that?
That was in 2013.
Gotcha. And then
meanwhile, you were playing in Gather.
Correct, yeah. I guess the way I met you, myself, Andy and Jeff from Urban Core, Doug and Polly from Whitestone Partners, we got the idea for Gather, found you, and you were first managing director of Gather.
That's right.
And so for the folks listening, this was April 2014, I guess, when we opened the first Gather, down at 5th and Main. And so I know now Gather's in Scott's Addition, Short Pump, and soon to be here at City Center. So I guess walk me through just Gather's progress in the last 5 years and what you've learned about co-working, what you've learned about Richmond, or about Gather, and what makes it successful today.
Yeah, well, learned everything. Didn't know anything 5 years ago about it, so now I feel somewhat of an expert in the industry. So first, if I think about leaving the Pumpkin Festival and coming to Gather, you know, what really sealed that was the group of owners that Duke just mentioned. Mm-hmm. You know, I could go in and have Duke, an expert in property management, and run a small business, Andy and Jeff, construction company, and Doug and Polly in small business, mm-hmm. And really step in and have experts there as a resource as we grew this company. Mm-hmm. We started off with very little budget, but we had a building, and I think Duke had sourced some members to fill it. And I think the general impression of us and the owners was that we were going to open the doors on April 1st, 2014, and there'd be a line of tech startups at the front of the door.
Right.
And we just spent our whole day signing them up.
Right.
But that's not exactly what happened.
Sure. Yeah. Back then, it was interesting, you know, back then you were educating the marketplace on what co-working was.
Right.
We did assume that the tech companies would flock to it, and some did. You know, you had Knox Payments, and you had some other folks, but I was surprised, as I'm sure you probably were, at the as Gather grew, especially when Scott's Addition opened, was the amount of just basic service-based companies that wanted to be in a co-working space.
Yeah, so that's one thing that we found, is it's not all startups that are looking for the space. You know, it's really any type of business that doesn't need to build something can work out of a Gather.
Right.
So that's probably the biggest lesson we learned right away.
Yeah.
We also learned that people like having offices. You know, back then, when people thought of co-working, they might have thought a big, wide-open space where you bring your laptop and open environment,
right.
People on their phone, you can't hear because you're listening to someone, your neighbor, talk on the phone. What we learned is that people really like offices. So as we grew from one location downtown to our Scott's Addition location 2 years later, we went from having 8 offices to having 70 offices. So we really almost gambled on that. We knew the market feedback that we've been getting.
And now Short Pump has
96 offices. Yeah.
So those locations stay mostly full.
Yeah. They say basically sold out with the wait list. Mm-hmm. So we applied that lesson to our new locations. Mm-hmm. As well as over time, the market has become more educated on co-working. So
right.
Now we don't have to go and beg people to come take tours. People are learning about co-working and coming in and checking it out. And it's not like we were the first co-working space, but we have just really learning lessons from what we've experienced in, since Downtown Gather in 2014.
What's interesting to me is when Scott's Edition opened, it filled up really quickly, a lot of it because of the demographics in Scott's Edition and the just the momentum the neighborhood had at the time. It filled up in like 45 days. And in Short Pump, a year later, when we opened Short Pump, it leased up slower, and we were a little even nervous early on when we first opened. But now that one is as full, as in demand as Scott's Edition. Am I right?
Yeah. I lost some night's sleep thinking about Short Pump.
Sure.
You know, we were going to the suburbs for the first time, and I'm a city person, like you've said before. And would people from the suburbs really take to it? But at night, I finally could go back to sleep because I would think through the value of Gather and why I wanted to do this to begin with. And it's because there's not that many institutions or places you can go in a physical sense and be part of something anymore. You know, everything is digital. You can connect on social media and you know, chat with your friends that way. But there's not many options for adults to go and be part of something, be a part of a community, and develop relationships. You know, when you go to school and you go to college and you graduate, all that time you've been given community. You have you go to class, you sit down, and then it's the same students in your class every day.
Yeah.
And you're encouraged to do sports and extracurricular activities.
Yeah.
But once you graduate, it's like you're on your own. And if you're not part of a big company like Capital One, you don't have that culture of a community to fall back on. So even though we were in the suburbs, I realized that the demand would be the same because the human is having the same experience. They're not getting the interaction, and if anything, it might be less because in the suburbs you have to drive more. You drive to the store, you drive to your work, and you drive home and park in your garage, and you may not even have that chance encounter with any humans that day.
Yeah, and when I started my business back in 2007, I started from my bedroom office. You know, it was just me, nobody to turn to for questions, advice, for inspiration, to go to lunch with, and I wish Gather had existed then. I would have loved to work in it then. Yeah, the Short Pump, or Scott's Edition Short Pump, now kind of redoing the downtown city center Gather. Why don't you give the folks the stats of this Gather, square footage, number of offices, et cetera.
Yeah, so the original Downtown Gather was 12,000 square feet with 8 offices and huge open space of co-working. And we're really shifting that now. So we're going for a much more dense population of people in the space. We'll have about 80 offices in this building here. We'll still have open, wide-open spaces, but there's going to be opportunities if you're a member that you can go have privacy and be in your office, or you can go get in a phone booth, or you can book a conference room. Yep. So that's going to be the shakeup. So this building is 4 historic buildings that we've merged into one, and there's going to be 80 offices, 10 conference rooms. There's going to be a podcast booth. Right behind us is going to be a rooftop.
That would be
deck.
A little more acoustic than what this podcast booth
is. This isn't
right
the
now.
Podcast booth.
No. You won't have power tools going off in the background?
No, we don't think so. But we're going to learn once we have that. So we're really excited about this project. And what I'm most excited about is the historic feel of the building, plus all of the nice fixtures that we have in our Short Pump space that we're going to put in this historic building. It's going to be a nice juxtaposition.
And so Gather's been busy. So you guys have location under construction here, Norfolk, and Newport News?
That's right.
What are the dates of those openings there?
So we're going to open up first in Norfolk on June 1st.
Okay.
And then in City Center, Richmond, July 17th. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to go open up in Newport News August 12th.
Okay.
Which that hasn't been announced yet, but maybe by the time this goes live.
Just it. You heard it here first.
Yes, you heard it here.
Well, that's exciting. A lot going on for Gather. So tell me what you think about the competition that's coming to town and the other businesses that kind of overlap, like a social house that's coming down the street, social clubs. Like, how do you feel that helps or hurts Gather as a concept?
I think it helps mostly. I keep going back to 2014, but we kept educating the market on what co-working is. Mm-hmm. And now you're realizing that more and more people know about it. And that's what we predicted to be true back then, because when I would give people a tour, I would say, hey, Richmond doesn't have this type of co-working yet, but other cities all have it. And now when you look at other cities, it's one of their leading uses of space is co-working. So I think it's inevitable that we're going to get competition. We're all going to be different. What we can only do is focus on what makes Gather unique and special.
Right.
And then you have the, on the fringe, like you're saying, the social clubs, traditional real estate. Those can be considered competition.
Sure.
But I think mostly they're all benefiting and contributing to the same ecosystem, which is going to be exciting for Richmond.
Nice. Nice. Before we go into the lightning round, anything else you want to talk about while we're here?
No, we're excited about Gather. I think that if you haven't worked out of a co-working space, this isn't my pitch to you, but just realize that if you work out of your house, you know who you're going to talk to that day, mm-hmm. and your environment is controlled, and you're not going to benefit from the perspective of other people as much, versus if you go work out of a co-working space, whether it's Gather or somewhere else, you never know that day who you're going to bump into. Duke could be working out of Gather and have five big clients come in that were also my clients, or the mayor could come in. But if you're at home, you know, there's only so many conversations with your cat that you can have.
Yep.
And that doesn't happen anywhere else.
Right.
All while you can have a door and shut it and focus and get work done. So sure. It's a huge benefit there. And I think that's, if I circle back to when I'm at Alcoa sitting in the cubicle and I'm deciding, do I want to have a job that's fulfilling or do I want to do my fulfillment afterwards? I think I have both of those now.
Yeah.
Where I can see the impact of what happens to adults as they get co-working memberships. Mm-hmm. It's not a place you just come hang out and get work done. You know, there's serious Fortune 500 companies working out of the space, but they can get coffee and make a friend, and that doesn't happen at your house.
Sure. I agree. So this will be a fun lightning round with you because you are a true Richmond person, born and raised, and you've been here and you enjoy the progress of Richmond. You're like me. You follow the progress of Richmond as far as, you know, restaurants, breweries, coffee shops, things to do, et cetera. So let's start with your favorite. You can have one meal in Richmond. Where are you going to eat?
One meal, I'm probably going to go to either Citizen Burger to get a burger and fries or Lucy's because okay. I like that they both get their meat locally and they both have good ranch dressing to dip your fries into.
Ranch dressing. Okay. How about favorite festival in Richmond or event like that?
I think the one I probably like the most is the Broad Appetit because mm-hmm. You can try a lot of different foods out for yeah. low price point. And I haven't been in a while,
yeah.
but that's the one that I think appeals to me the most. I'm not as big into music and
right.
That kind of festival. Right. I always find it awkward what you're supposed to do at a concert.
Show me if how you dance. Do it now.
First thing I do is try to decide, am I supposed to dance or not?
What do I do with my hands?
It's all I'm putting on an act for everybody there at the concert, and I'm never really that comfortable.
Right. Clearly, you don't do drugs. I think if you do drugs, I hear that makes the decision
okay.
for you how
that's
you dance.
What I need to try.
Favorite brewery?
I like Triple Crossing the best.
Okay. Favorite outdoor activity? Or place, non-festival, just outdoor activity?
My favorite simple outdoor activity is just to go walking and listen to an audiobook or a podcast.
Okay.
And that can be in my neighborhood or it can be along the James River.
What neighborhood do you live in now?
I live in Northside,
and
near
Battery
Park.
And you've lived in, like...
Last 10 years, I was in Carytown.
Okay. So, last question. So, you've got a friend. I know you've done this. So, you've got a friend coming into Richmond for the weekend.
Right.
You get here on Friday. They're going to leave on Sunday. Walk me through that weekend. What do you do with that person to showcase your city?
Yeah. So, right when they get here, I'm going to want to eat. So,
yeah.
We're going to think about where we're going to eat. Probably somewhere like Little Mexico in BCU because I know Jesus and Rosie and it's fun going somewhere where the people at the restaurant know your name and okay. are excited. And everybody likes Mexican.
Sure.
So that's an easy one. Then we'll probably go to bed after that because I don't like to stay up late.
Okay.
Then in the morning, probably head out to Teapot Bridge, walk, mm-hmm. do a loop around the James River. And for lunch, probably if we don't have to be too healthy, I'd like to go to Proper Pie and get a couple pies there because you can. That's something unique that a lot of people don't have in their
sure.
city.
Yeah.
And then either go rest or maybe hang out in the breweries.
So you're going to go to bed early, you're going to nap on Saturday?
I'm a very low energy person.
Okay, maybe you need all those damn carbs at Proper Pie. Maybe you have more energy. I don't know.
So probably go to Triple Crossing and Vail and a couple other places and probably take them to see Gather if they haven't been to it yet.
Sure. Cool. And then Sunday morning, you got a brunch spot you're going to go?
I like Lucy's brunch. They got a good menu for that.
Yeah.
I highly recommend Lucy's.
Yeah, well, cool. Well, I like all those things, so I would love to hang out when this person comes into town. Well, I appreciate your time. We always love having interesting people in Richmond doing interesting things. You're one of my favorite Richmond people, and I know you love your city, and you make it. Cheers. You make it a better place, so thank you. And come see Gather when it opens July 17th or sooner. James will give you a hard hat tour
or Jim.
Anytime. Jim, James, anybody.
All right, thanks,
cool.
Duke.
Thanks, man. Appreciate
okay,
it.
Bye.